Megan, you know what I love about our partner, the Essential Calendar? I love the product so much, of course, but I also love that it comes from a small business founded by two moms.
Right, just like us. Listeners, if you're drowning in details right now, like summer camps, travel plans, end of school year mayhem, give yourself the gift of the Essential Calendar, a seasonal, at-a-glance, poster-sized calendar for your wall. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 119 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey Megan.
Hey Sarah, what's up?
Not much.
We just had some technical issues that I have to just like preface to say we've been ducking and quacking at each other for a while.
We are all glad we're here, and we just spent 30 minutes trying to get here for you guys. So welcome to episode 119. We are 120 episodes in, and we still have technical difficulties
sometimes.
We have
no idea what we're doing most of the time. That is just a preface for our lives and parenting in general, which I think is a great way to, set up this conversation.
Yeah, you're in great hands. You're in great hands, guys. Today, now that we are here, we are talking about babysitters and caregivers and nannies. I can't
believe...
The people
who help us figure out what we're doing, because we obviously need it a lot.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe this is another one of those where I'm going to say, I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet. And of course, it's something that we've mentioned in the context of other topics.
Many times.
But we've never devoted
an entire episode to it, which is crazy.
We're actually going to do two. We're going to break it up into part one, part two, because we've got a lot to talk about. So today we're just going to focus on the basics, kind of talk about how we've dealt with sitters and caregivers over the years, kind of give a little background, and then talk about how to find good sitters and how to kind of know when you've got a good one and how we've sort of gotten better about that as time's gone on. So today, a little more general. Next week, we're going to really get into like working with the babysitters you have. How much do we pay them? How do we communicate with them? Do we expect them to do dishes? All the really the nitty gritty and how to help your kids do really well when you have a sitter. So the nitty gritty of when the sitter is in your house, that will be next week. So we'll do a little two part, which we like to do sometimes. So
we do.
All right.
Which we would have done today, except we totally blew half an hour trying to figure out our technology. And also, I am crazy because I don't have a sitter currently, and I really need one.
Oh my gosh. It's a day. It's a Sunday evening, too, which is a very strange time for us to record.
We're figuring stuff out.
Thanks for putting up with us, guys. Also, at the very end of today's episode, you will hear one of my segments with Katie, which I know you guys love because you always tell us how much you love those. And Katie and I have so much fun. So just listen all the way to the end and you will hear that as well.
Okay, Megan. Well, over here at the Mom Hour, we are big fans of our sponsor, Our Place. In fact, you, me, and our team member, Katie, were all comparing notes on our favorite product. Katie was telling us that even though she's packing up to move her family to a new house, she cannot put that mini perfect pot from Our Place into the boxes yet because she's using it like every night.
Well, as someone who also has a perfect pot, I got mine as part of their mini home cook duo set. I get it. It's nonstick, which is key, but it also has all these handy features like a steam release lid with a built-in strainer and this nice beechwood spoon that nests on the handle in this perfect little peg.
Okay, well, I didn't get this pot, but now I want it. That sounds so great. Our Place's cookware is great to cook with, beautiful to look at, and healthier for us as well. All of Our Place's products are made without PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. In addition to their cookware and tableware, Our Place is also making waves with their Wonder Oven, the most stylish all-in-one air fryer and toaster oven. Again, free from the forever chemicals found in many of those air fryers.
Listeners, Our Place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns, and we've got a great deal for you. Go to fromourplace.com and enter the code MOMHOUR at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide. That's from ourourplace.com, code MOMHOUR.
Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, protein plus, and keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's three, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code momhour50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
So now that we're, I feel a little more relaxed now. I feel like we're in the groove.
We just had like a very stressful few minutes, but we're over it now. We're moving in. We're like settling into our routine here. And
the alternative is not having a podcast on Tuesdays. And I don't think that would make everyone sad. No one wants that. So sometimes we're a little rough around the edges. Okay. So before we get into this, I have to give a shout out to our friends Amy and Margaret at the What Fresh Hell podcast, because this topic has been on our production calendar for a long time now, and they just had an episode come out on the same topic. So I love when great minds think alike. And of course, if you listen to their show, you know they're way funnier than we are. They're like stand-up comedians.
And you can't hold a candle to these ladies.
No, but and they'll have a different take on things, but it's a great episode. It was very funny. Amy had a couple of horror stories about sitters and learning the hard way about a couple of things. So if you just want to binge on this topic, go check out the What Fresh Hell episode on the same topic. And I love that we had great minds thinking alike in the same timing of this. So, okay. So I have a question for you, Megan, and that is, in 20 years of parenting almost, do you feel like you have found like a type, like a babysitter type that works really well for your personality and your family? That's kind of a big question, but I thought that might help us kind of get into some of this.
You know, that no one's ever asked me that before, but I thought about it. And one of the things I think is really interesting is that every time I've known someone who's had like an older, like grandmotherly type babysitter, I have thought to myself that that would drive me up a tree. I don't think I want someone more experienced taking care of my kids. And I'm just saying this like as a total... Now, they would be great to have, like, you know, I used to work with midwives. I worked at a birth center for years when my kids were really little. And so I had granny types all around, and they loved nothing better than to rock my babies. And I got to bring my babies to work for a long time, which was awesome. And I would always have like a pair of arms wanting to hold them and rock them. But they also had a lot of opinions. And the older I've gotten, that was when I was a very young mom. I was like 25.
And you didn't have your mom right there near you.
No. And so the older I've gotten, and the more confident as a mom I've gotten, the more that type of scenario has not appealed to me. Just put it that way. I know it works for a lot of people, but for me, that I feel like I kind of know what I want. I kind of know what my, I know what my parenting style is. I don't need a lot of validation in that regard. I don't want to have to explain how things are these days. To a babysitter. And so I've always gone for younger. In fact, I really like really young sitters. I have had better luck with like young teens than I've had with older teens and young adults, because I find that they're very eager.
They like to play.
They want to play. They want to do all that stuff that like maybe mom doesn't always want to do. So I had like a lot of really good luck with like the 14, 15, 16 year old set. I think when they get a little older, sometimes they get into their own stuff, into their own academics, into their own activities, and they're not always as present. Which doesn't mean they're not very responsible, but they maybe aren't like a busy working mom with like lots of kids. Maybe what I want is really, I've already got all the other stuff figured out. I want someone to come play and pay attention.
Oh, that's so, you said so many good things that I want to get into, which is like how you even know what kind of sitter works for you because it's so different in different phases. I have to say first on the older sitter type that I've only had a quote unquote nanny once. And really it was just a part-time sitter, but I guess because she was on a regular schedule and I was working in an office, we called it, it was a, like a nanny arrangement, but she was only there, I think one day a week, one, and then 2 days a week the next week.
Can I be really honest, just to stop you really quick? I still don't know the difference between a sitter and a nanny. I've been trying to figure it out.
Well, yeah. I mean, we should talk about it.
I don't know. I can't help anyone because I don't know.
I think of a nanny as someone who is employed for a longer term on a regular schedule. But at the same time, one of my babysitters, I had her on Friday mornings once a week for Violet for like 2 straight years, and I never called her a nanny. She was just my babysitter that was on a regular schedule. So there must be some gray area. I also think nannies often are working part-time or full-time, so that is their main employment. So maybe it's a little more about how they identify. But anyway, we had Patty, who was in her late 60s when we had her, and she was a like a professional night nurse. She was actually a nurse's assistant at the hospital, and then she helped families with twins and triplets at night, overnight. So she was like a professional baby person, and even with some medical training. So I found it wasn't so much the does she know better and like the grandmotherly type. It was more I was very intimidated by how much she knew and how little I knew. And not on top of that, I wasn't very good at keeping a clean house, and she came into my house and I felt like she was sort of this like, you know, she was like a no nonsense. She was great with Allegra. She was great with the baby. But I felt like, I remember the first time she came over, she vacuumed, and that was not part of our arrangement. And I was so mortified because I felt like she came in and like judged my house. So it was, so maybe for different reasons than you, but that was very intimidating for me to have an older person as the caregiver. That's interesting. I've had good luck with the young ones, but I think there's a season for that because I've also had times where I was in a bind and I had like a 14-year-old from across the street come watch all three of my kids over the dinner hour. And I want to say my kids were 2, 5, and 7. I came and my 2-year-old is, you know, Violet, who everybody is familiar with. So she's like a full time. You know, like, I don't even know if the 14-year-old could just handle Violet alone. So I came home and I felt like my 5 and 7-year-old were basically parenting themselves, which thankfully they could. And the sitter was like deer in headlights. So I'm agreeing with you on the young ones, but I think like if it was one baby or one toddler, that can work really well, or
maybe
two
like
older
kids they're really paying attention to. And
or a couple of older kids where they could play board games and stuff. But multiple small kids, every time I went into that situation, I found I was so nervous the whole time I was gone because I just felt like they were probably in over their head because I was in over my head as the parent half the time. So we've had really good luck with some college age girls, but when I was listening to you talk about them getting into their own stuff a little bit, I think that's where you have to be really careful about the personality type and kind of what are they in it for? You know, the college age girls that we've had that have been amazing are ones who are going to school for early childhood education, or maybe they want to become a teacher, or maybe, I mean, they clearly, they're babysitting to make money, but they're also babysitting because they really genuinely love being around kids and sort of see this as like a path to something. So I think you're right. I think the older they get, the more you have to be a little choosier maybe about are they in it for the right reason or are they just, you know, there to collect.
Well, and it totally, you're right. It totally depends on the season of life for you, the season of care for your kids. And like right now for Clara, who's 13 or who, sorry, 8. Like, she's 13. She's 8 going on 13. I had something else in mind. She's 8, right? But all she wants is a big girl to come pay attention to her.
Yeah.
So 12, 13, 14-year-olds are perfect for her. Like, honestly, the best age. And and then anything beyond that is kind of like, that would be more like if there was an overnight situation or she had to be driven someplace.
Yeah.
Or when she was younger, she needed more nurturing, right?
Yeah.
She just doesn't need as much. So
now, do you find that the really young ones, the 13, 14, even 15-year-olds, I sometimes get awkward as like their employer because they are so awkward. They've never had a job or like they're not used to talking to adults other than maybe their parents and their teachers. So that always makes me, I get squirmy around them sometimes because I feel like they are super, of course they want to please and they want to do a good job. It comes from a good place, but they can be really shy or awkward.
When it comes to, I know we're not supposed to talk about pay and stuff, but like when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah, when it comes to that kind of stuff. And even even just making conversation, like I find that I don't mind small talk with anybody, but I find the small talk really awkward. So I do, I feel like I'm a much better rapport with, again, the like, I'm going to say 19 to 22 year olds, like the college age, but.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can totally see that. And at this age, I don't really care about my rapport.
Like, yeah, I know.
There are times when I've had, and it also depends where you're getting your sitters from. So remember that I live in Mayberry.
Yeah.
And not literally Mayberry, but we joke about the place that I live and call it Mayberry. And a lot of younger people that I'd have come babysit Clara, and I'm putting babysit, like, you, I wish you could see how hard I'm making air quotes right
the
now.
The air quotes are large.
They're large. They are strong with me. And it's because these are people who I know have teenagers who I'm like, well, your kid can play with my kid for a few hours. And I don't interact with the kid. Like, when they come in, Clara actually said to me, my friend Julie has a daughter named Ona, who is 13. And maybe she actually may be just shy of 13. And Clara, she comes over to play with Clara. Now, all the other kids are in the house. There's two teenagers. One of them is an adult in the house. Yeah. So Clara is just really being played with. And Clara says, I feel like you're just paying her to be my friend. And I was like, well, to be fair, I'm not paying her very much. But also, that's kind of true. But she's more responsibility. I want her to take it seriously.
Yeah.
She is there to hang with you and, you know, make sure everything's okay and text me if things are going wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have a huge expectation of her to negotiate or anything. And neither does she with me. The expectations are very low on both sides. And I've obviously had situations where I needed more proactive professional care, like the sitter we had last year in the mornings.
Yes.
Was basically my lifeline when I started this new job.
Yeah.
And was someone who came in every, 3 mornings a week and took care of my kids from 6:30 until 8:30 and made sure their lunches were packed and got them off to school and made sure that if their homework wasn't done when she got there, that it got done and cleaned the kitchen. That was such a different level of care and required someone who could negotiate and talk to me and
And have a relationship with you. Yeah, that totally makes sense. So I guess what we've landed on is the quote unquote type of babysitter that works is highly dependent on what you need. And it just, I think over time you kind of, I know I have developed a more comfort level with what I need and where to get them. So let's start to get into where to find these lovely young people.
Okay.
So I just wrote down like a few tips. And the first one is may seem obvious, but ask around because no matter how great the internet brings us closer together and there are awesome services and we can get into some of those, but I feel like sitter needs change so quickly. So the person that was great last summer now is studying abroad. And the person, that's what I find is like, there's such cycles of availability of people. So you kind of have to ask around like who knows someone who is available now and might be looking for a few hours a week or just date nights. And maybe we should even back up and kind of say that it's great to know what you're looking for. You know, if you don't need a nanny situation or a regular schedule or like what you had last year with the morning thing, I still think it's really great to have a couple people you can call for an evening or a day. Yes. And I know I had a hard time finding daytime sitters during the school year because the high school kids are in school. The college, that's why I think why I did have good luck with college girls because their schedules were sometimes flexible. They might be in college locally, but you know, college schedules sort of, you might not have class every minute of every day. And then a lot of the ones who do a lot of babysitting were already employed as nannies. So I had a hard time finding occasional daytime babysitting for quite a while. So just, I think just keep asking, ask your friends, ask on Facebook, ask moms who maybe are a little ahead of you and are using more sitters. If you're not, I don't know. Do you have anything to add there?
Well, no, I think that your point of having a few people to call on is so important. And I would also say, be super proactive, because this is going to sound like a really dumb thing, and I'm sure not many people who are listening are pregnant and don't have any babies yet. But if you are, if you're pregnant right now and don't have any babies yet, take like a tenth of the time that you're using to obsess about stuff like when you're going to go into labor and like, I don't know, what bottle you should buy or whatever, what cloth diaper is best, and invest that in talking to some young women or men and figuring out a childcare situation. Because I'll tell you what, it's never going to get easier. And that's one thing that when I found myself paralyzed with almost all of my kids, I don't think it was really until Clara that I figured out that if you don't have some options lined up ahead of time, before you have a baby, you are not going to figure it out when you have a 3-month-old.
Yeah.
And you suddenly have an urge to go out on a Friday with your husband. You're not going to figure, you know, that's the worst time.
Yeah.
That's when it's the most work. So try to do that ahead of time and maybe ask friends to help you make it easy on yourself. And that's something I think, you know, we've always talked about. We just had an episode about this a couple weeks ago when we were together in California about ways to help a new mom. And one of the ways I think moms can help each other is by giving those recommendations. And I think that, but you still have to ask. You have to ask far enough ahead of time to actually make a plan.
Yeah. And I would even go so far as to say, if you don't have immediate sitter needs, invent some, like whether it's, you know, even if money's tight and once a week is not an option, every couple weeks or once a month where you practice getting a sitter, leaving your kids with a sitter.
Yeah.
This is something, and I kind of meant to actually talk about this in our overview and I jumped right in, but I was really, really terrible at this from the time my second baby was born, so 2010, until we moved here, late 2014, and I found my amazing sitter right away here. So for 4 years, I did not have anyone. I had 2 little kids and then 3 little kids. And my parents lived in town sometimes, but they were like, they would like not live in town for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And I had no, I mean, I shouldn't say I had no sitters, but every time I got a sitter, I was scrambling and it was somebody I didn't know very well. And I was having to start over and, you know, explain how to care for my kids. And my kids were really little. They weren't talking yet. So I really had to sort of walk somebody through. And I had so, it was so stressful. And I just wish, looking back, I wish I had had like gotten 2 or 3 people and had them more often so that it just wasn't as big a deal. That's the part, you know, and I think there's a lot of maybe guilt for moms who are staying at home full time that now you're spending money on childcare when you are in fact, you know, the primary caregiver. Maybe there's some of that, or maybe you're working full time and your kids are in full time daycare. And then it's the thing like, well, I shouldn't need childcare on top of that because they're already in daycare. So on either end of the spectrum, we can talk ourselves into this like, well, I don't really need it very often. But if you don't need it very often, it's super stressful to get it when you need it. I think that's kind of what you were starting to say. And then I jumped in on you. But
And I kind of feel like, Sarah, I feel like we should both kind of just be, I don't know, upfront that really you are probably the only of the two of us who've had a true, well, that's not true. I did have a daycare situation that lasted about 1.5 years when my oldest kids were little, but I haven't really had, a more traditional full-time working mom, childcare babysitter situation in a very long time.
Right.
So things may have changed. So I'm coming at this from a perspective that some working moms may not understand because they don't have their kids all in school or teenagers in the house to watch them. And I know you did have a more traditional daycare situation and maybe that's not exactly what we're talking about right now, but that's part of the situation as well. That's part of the topic.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about a couple more ways to find these people. One thing I wrote down, these wonderful sitters,
those people,
one thing I wrote down that I learned was the high school girls who volunteer to work in the church nurseries are prime babysitter material.
They really love it.
And they, I think a lot of churches, you have to maybe be 14 or you have to have taken a babysitter's class. So they're old enough to babysit and they are already learning and maybe even have done some CPR training or those types of things to work in the church nursery. And there's usually a bunch of them and often they are friends with each other because it's a church community or whatever. Right. So if you are, have that type of community accessible, or even if you have friends who do, the friends I know who kind of tapped that mine would just had like endless babysitters. Cause if one wasn't available, another one was. And they're right. often young teenagers. So then you sort of grow with them as they move through high school and they're probably right there in your town. And so that is, if you haven't thought about that one, that's a good one.
That's actually a very genius tip. I would also add to that, anybody who is an older sibling, and here's a problem. Actually, any sibling in a family with multiple kids, I feel like gets it. Mm-hmm. But I think the older siblings might not want to get it because they don't want to be around other people's kids.
Yeah.
However, there is something really reassuring about having someone in your house who doesn't need a lot of handholding
yes.
as far as like what it's like to wrangle a toddler or change a diaper.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at when I said that it's sometimes awkward. Is it, they don't have, that was the feeling I was getting with some of the younger teenagers, was that it was sort of foreign to them. And I had to like orient them to this is right. what it's like to be in a house. So I totally hear what you're saying. If they are an older sibling or have helped in the church nursery or whatever, that they're a little more familiar.
Yeah, absolutely. And those church nursery girls, I was one of those.
You were one of them.
I was a church nursery girl when I was little, or not little, but like, you know, an yeah. adolescent, young adolescent. And yeah, why volunteer in the church nursery unless you love children yeah. and want to play with them? So
exactly, exactly. Okay, well, one of my tips was to stalk good babysitters when you see them out in the world, because that is how I found...
So can you please give details about how yeah. did you stalk them?
So, no, I didn't stalk her very hard. I kind of followed her around the playground. So Erin is our favorite babysitter. She's been with me since we moved here, so over 3 years. And we were down at the park very shortly after we moved here. And I noticed this sitter with these two little kids who now are my neighbors and I know them, but I didn't know these kids at the time. And they were a pretty high energy, like a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, similar to a couple of my kids at that time. And I remember being so impressed with how this young person was handling these two kids. And Erin looks young for her age. I think she was like 20 at the time, but looked much younger, and yet spoke to these two little kids and handled them like she was a mom. I was like, what is she? Like, what are you? And I kind of like made small talk with her and tried to be friendly and said, we just moved here. And of course she lived in the neighborhood. The kids she was babysitting lived in the neighborhood. And I got her phone number before I left the park. And I think I was turning over a new leaf because we'd just moved here and I didn't want to be stuck without options. And I didn't know a lot of moms here to ask. So I just followed her around and asked her, and she is to this day our favorite babysitter. So you can, if you see them out in the wild, you can just ask. I mean, I don't think it's nice to poach other people's sitters, but you can do you babysit often? Like, do you work for lots of families? You know, obviously like you don't have to take
them. I've honestly had people who have been like, when I told them about Caroline, who was our sitter last year, who unfortunately got a like real job and is in school now and isn't available this year, to take care of my kids in the morning. So I'm handling it for now. But people would say to me like, oh, I really like the situation you got there. And like, they would kind of come in kind of like a little slide.
Yeah.
And finally I was like, she's mine. Back off.
Yeah. You
know? She's not up for.
She is mine. I know. And that is another vote for having some kind of a regular schedule, whether it's, you know, a date night once a month, or because if you find those ones you like, if they are open to being on a regular schedule and it works for you, then you lock them in, you know, even if it's not many hours, but just something regular. And that's how it always was with Erin. Yeah. So,
to talk more about Caroline, who was this fantastic sitter we had for the whole school year last year and was great. And really during a time, and I didn't talk about this when I first talked about Caroline because I hadn't really kind of come out with it, but that was right when I was separating. And so it was like the very beginning of sort of my divorce journey process or whatever. I needed that stabilization so much. Like, I really needed someone in my house every morning making sure those things were taken care of.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a position to always do it. And I had a lot of anxiety. There's just a lot going on and I needed that. And I found her on care.com and it was fantastic. I know care.com has been a sponsor of ours. And
we're going to work with them again coming up this fall.
But I really believe in that service because it made it so easy. Like, I didn't have to think too hard. I didn't know anyone off the top of my head who was in a position of being able to come watch someone's kids in their home like super early in the morning 3 days a week. I just didn't have that connection to any real people in real life. And so that just put me in touch with someone, and she was great. And I was also, the other thing I liked about care.com was when you put something in a job description in that way, you can be really clear about what you want, and you don't have to have that awkward conversation with someone who maybe isn't great at negotiating or whatever.
Right.
So you know, when I sat down with Caroline, I didn't really have to say, so what I want you to do is do the dishes and pack the kids' lunch. Right. She already knew that.
Yeah, you said it as a job. Yeah, that's such a good point.
The pay was in the job description. Yeah. Everything was there. She knew exactly what I wanted. And so I got to kind of avoid all that pre-talk and all that stuff. So it was nice. Yeah. And I know there are other services as well, but Care.com was the one I've used several times.
Yeah, there are some, and I know people who've had really good luck. I know people who, you know, maybe don't use them every time, but just when you're kind of, when your well of available sitters gets low, you hit up one of those services. I'm going to shout out to a service called Busy Bees, and I think it's in Arizona only. So it's sort of Arizona specific, but just because I happen to know people, and it is a little different. It is on demand. It's kind of like the Uber. You know how everything is the Uber of whatever. Uber of childcare, in that they employ the sitter. So it's different than a matchmaking service. It is, they have sitters. I shouldn't say they employ them, but it's a little more like they will dispatch a sitter to you almost on demand. So like really like real time request a sitter, and then all their people are background checked. And I won't say much more because I'm not super read up on the service, but my Arizona friends are obsessed. They love it. And they arrive, like the sitters arrive like in a Busy Bees t-shirt, like a branded. So it's really like, it's kind of like its own thing. And it's all like on a mobile app, like the young people do everything on their phone. So yeah. So there's probably things like that cropping up too, where it's like truly on demand, even if it's just a one-off and it's somebody who's background checked and, you know.
One thing I will also say, I'm just going to throw this in here, and I have not personally used one in a long time, but when we lived in Minneapolis, I do remember using a drop-in babysitting, like almost like a drop-in daycare.
Yep.
A few times. And I have to say that was at a time when I was like solely a stay-at-home mom. I didn't know anyone in town. I didn't know any sitters. And just sometimes to have 2 hours to drop my very active toddler and preschooler off and let them run around and just go nuts was kind of a lifesaver.
Yeah.
And I could go grocery shopping or go to the library with a bookstore or whatever. I didn't usually use it. I would usually stop like in the middle of the day and use it like right before their nap or whatever.
Right.
Just let them run themselves ragged. And at that time, it was kind of expensive as sitters at like sitters go, but the kids were always super excited to go. That was the thing. They like really loved it. And I don't even know if there's chains.
I bet there are. I remember there were a few in Arizona, and I want to say you had to be potty trained, which seems weird. So I don't think the ones that we had access to were really geared toward, they were more preschool and up.
This one, definitely you could go there without being potty trained.
Yeah.
I had like a separate area for potty trained
kids. Yeah. This one, I'm pretty sure they didn't change diapers. Yeah. So it was a little bit more of a big kid thing, but and again, we come back to explore those options and give them a try before you really need them, so that when you really need them, you don't have to fill the paperwork out or look up, you know, it's just there available. It's in your arsenal. So,
and I always found I had kids who sometimes were stressed about being left with sitters, and something about being taken to a fun place and dropped off felt different.
Yeah.
Like that to them was like Playland. Like they almost didn't even notice that I was leaving.
Right.
Because it was like, what? There's all this cool stuff to do. It wasn't the same as like, oh, this strange person showed up in my house and now mom's walking out the door.
I'm really glad you brought those up, because I had kind of forgotten. And they are probably inconsistently available in different cities, just depending. But if that's an option, check it out.
Sarah, our sponsor, Hiya Health, makes a kids' daily multivitamin that parents can feel great about giving their kids because they have no added sugars or dyes. And our kids who have tried Hiya vitamins have loved them, which is important, right? Because what good is a bottle of vitamins that your kid won't take?
Hiya was founded by 2 dads who didn't like the ingredients label on some of the popular children's vitamins they were seeing on store shelves, so they got to work developing a formula that would help fill the most common nutrient gaps in modern kids' diets. Hiya's chewable kids vitamin is made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Hiya manufactures their vitamins right here in the USA with globally sourced ingredients, and then they ship their chewable vitamins directly to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You're going to get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to HiyaHealth.com/momhour. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to HiyaHealth.com/momhour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Okay, Megan, like many of our listeners, I'm sure, I've been doing some spring cleaning in my closet lately, and it always feels so good to get rid of clothes I'm not wearing, things that don't fit or that aren't my style anymore. But you know what I realized? All of my Vionic shoes are always in the keep pile. They just tick all the boxes. They're cute, comfy, high quality. They last forever. And I love growing my Vionic collection, especially with the latest styles from their Vionic Vitals collection.
The Vionic Vitals collection offers daily wear styles designed for elegance, comfort, and versatility. We both love the Uptown Loafer, which collapses flat, so it's perfect for travel. The Chardonnay Heeled Sandal, which I know you love, Sarah. The Walk 23 Classic Sneaker, which our team member Katie gets compliments on all the time. And the Willa Slip-On Flat, one of my favorites, which comes in 12 colors for any outfit.
Yeah, I need to get the Willa Slip-On Flat. That's next on my list. Well, listeners, if you're ready to try the shoes we're always raving about, use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's one-time use only. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
All right. So a little more on sitters before we wrap up here. And we've talked about my first note here, which was why put the time and effort into having babysitters when you're either staying home full time or maybe working full time and already have a daycare or nanny situation? So let's just continue with this topic a little bit more. And I mentioned that I had a really, really hard time with this in those years when I had two little and then three little kids. And it just felt like I was always behind the eight ball. Every time I would get a sitter, I felt like I didn't know them very well. I felt like I had to really hold their hand, just like you said. And I would kind of get worked up about it. And then it would go okay. It would go fine. And then I was back to square one. So I guess I'm hoping our listeners don't learn from my mistakes and create some kind of structure or community where getting a babysitter isn't a big deal. I don't know. Do you think I'm crazy? I just made it a really big deal for a long time.
I totally don't think you're crazy. Unfortunately, I feel like this is going to be one of those like do as I say, not as I do situations because I was terrible about this. Like I always waited until the most desperate moment or didn't do it at all and then was just desperate.
Yeah.
without any kind of relief. No, totally. Like, yes, do it. Get on it. I know it's have a few and I don't know, just be proactive. I guess that's the word I had to use is just be proactive because there'll never be a time that it gets easier to think about childcare than when you don't yet need it.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think there's a lot of benefits for the kids as well to have it be something that is not a big deal and happens more often. I mean, everybody's situation is different. And if you have family close by and the grandparents are the babysitters or the caregivers or your backup babysitters, that's awesome. But I do think it's good for kids. And next week, when we really get into making the sitter experience successful, we'll talk more about like separation anxiety and all that. But one of the things that offsets some of that in kids is just having it be not a big deal and having it be something that happens regularly. And that's what I was just not very good at, I think.
I wasn't either. And honestly, the other thing about that is when you say you had a sitter, a standing sitter every Friday night from 7 to 10 or whatever, you don't ever have to think about it. You know they're coming. The kids know they're coming.
Yeah.
They know they're coming.
Yep.
Everybody is on the same page and it's very clear. Otherwise, it ends up being this thing like you get desperate. Like, I got to get out of here. I have to do something. Call someone. I don't care who.
Yeah. Yes,
and
exactly.
It becomes like that, you know, like your situation with the sitter that I don't know why that probably happened because I made you do something work related.
No, I think it was a back to school night and everyone steals all the babysitters because they all have the same back to school night.
Oh, yeah. So it's always good to think ahead about that stuff because no one wants to be the last minute babysitter. No one wants to be the kids who suddenly have a sitter thrown at them and no parent wants to be scrambling to figure it out of desperation at 4 o'clock. So the more regular you can make it and have a couple of regulars
and have a couple. Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of thing too, that takes work. And we've talked about this before. Like sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this with, training kids, how to do chores, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier just to do the chores yourself, but it's only easier today.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easier over a month or 2 months or a year to do it yourself.
Yep. Agreed.
And so that's absolutely still the case. Yeah.
The other thing that I have really experienced now that we have been in more regular practice with sitters and we have more than one that I really trust and that I could call if one isn't available is the more you do that, your options open up for using those sitters for even more involved stuff. So Aaron has stayed overnight with my kids, which I would never have done if someone just told me you have to go find a sitter to stay overnight with your kids, that would have felt like a big deal. But Aaron had been watching my kids for 3 years and had been in my house and had driven my car. Right. So another part of being in a regular practice and developing those relationships is you can start to give more and more responsibility. I mean, I didn't give Aaron the keys to my car and have her drive my kids around right away. But over time, that was a no-brainer for me. She could take them to the library if it was a long day and they were bored or whatever. So, and just to reiterate, having more than one, because I think we can get in the same problem of having no sitters is having only one sitter that you really like and that your kids really like. And then after that, and actually in Arizona, we did have that for a little while. We had like one. And if she wasn't available, then you're back to none. So rotating a little bit, letting the kids know they're not always going to get their favorite sitter. There's pros and cons. You know, sometimes you have the young ones and sometimes yeah, I just think having a few in your back pocket is great. I thought we could talk briefly before we finish up about other creative arrangements. And I feel like you have shared really good ideas about this over time. You talked a little bit about Clara's situation, yes. which is like almost
a mother's helper.
Like a mother's helper.
She's a sitter, but I wouldn't leave her alone with Clara if there weren't other older kids in the house. And I also wouldn't leave her there with a younger kid. So it's much more like a mother's helper situation.
And you could have mother's helpers with when you have a new baby, if you have somebody to come help play with the younger siblings. And I think if you're home and not napping or anything, I think a mother's helper could be as young as 9 or 10. Anybody who can play, you know, Allegro would be
just
a great
sometimes you can employ an older sibling to do that, but the problem is sometimes that gets old and they don't want to do that, and it's nice to mix it up a little bit. And sometimes having someone from outside of the family, they're a little more eager, a little more invested, I guess, and maybe their pay is like an ice cream cone. It's not necessarily like they're getting like paid good money. They just they feel like important and they take it more seriously.
Right.
Another thing that we've done a lot with our friends recently is hired more than one sitter to handle groups of kids. And this tends to happen like on holidays or big events where we'll have like all the kids at one family's house and then all the adults at the other house. Mm-hmm. We've also done things before because my group of friends has a lot of kids. So we've broken them up into boys and girls, not because of gender necessarily, but because it just so happens that in our groups, the boys are all older and the girls are all younger.
Right.
For whatever reason. I don't know why. But the youngest boy is like, not the youngest. There's one who plays with the girls quite frequently. But that's my friend Missy's son, Sam. He's Clara's age. But like most of the boys are 10 and up.
Okay.
And most of the girls are 9 and younger. And so it just works out. We split them into two houses.
Right.
And then the third house is where all the adults go. So we've done that kind of a lot, actually. And that works really well. And sometimes when you group the kids by age and ability, almost, like you can have younger, like you can decide which sitter is the right appropriate sitter for each group.
Yeah.
So for the girls, it's like the one who will do their hair.
Yeah.
And make sure they go to bed on time. And for the boys, it's the one who will feed them snacks and...
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the like multiple sitters for a big group. And I've seen it work really well at large parties, like say it's a holiday party or somebody like you kind of said that, but where maybe everybody's even still in the same house, like but the adults just want to enjoy their time and have a couple of sitters take, especially if you have really little kids, put on a movie for them, make sure they've got what they need, put them in their pajamas, maybe put little kids to bed in a pack and play or whatever. I've seen that work really well. It's also a good way to, I think, test drive some of those younger sitters. If you have neighbor girls who've wanted to babysit and you haven't left them alone yet, you could do it in that kind of a setting. I've also seen it work where the sitters are siblings. So maybe there's an older teenager who's super responsible and she brings along her 13-year-old sister for backup, but between the two of them, they can handle the group. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like the whole thing allows for so much flexibility. And it just can work great for a lot of, like you said, holiday parties and that kind of thing. I know you have done a lot of like scheduled or regular trades with neighbors or friends. Like you got through years of your freelance working life doing that, right?
Yes. So for years, I've had so many different arrangements. For years, my sister and I had an informal trade. Then it got much more formal. My friend Melissa, Missy, and I had a thing where she took Clara 2 days a week, and I took her son Sam 2 days a week. And then one day we just head off. And that was usually the day we would all like just hang out together and complain about how rough our weeks were. we each had a kindergartner or a first grader at the same time, and they had half days at the time. So we would have to like do the half day pickup yes. as well. And
yeah,
it was totally fine. Like it was stressful, but it was so much better than having nothing. And yeah. neither one of us could really afford full time or even part time daycare at the time.
Yeah.
My brother and I also did that for a couple of years where I don't even remember now what our arrangement was, but he was staying at home, working from home and taking care of his kids. And we were just kind of winging it. Like I'd have his kids one whole day and he'd have mine. Or sometimes I'd have his kids one day, he'd have mine one day. And then we had a shared sitter that we would split.
Oh, that's that works.
So we got really flexible and really creative. And it just goes to show you there's always a solution.
Yeah.
If you can think outside the box a little bit.
Yep.
And we really did. And not every solution was great. I mean, sometimes it was not good. We had one sitter who was terrible. and, you know, she just wasn't really quick on the uptake.
Yeah.
And looking back, like that was when, you know, I had stuff that got trashed in my house because I think she was overwhelmed and let the kids just trash things and stuff. And you live and learn. That happens.
Yeah,
sometimes.
You definitely live and learn.
Sometimes it's going to happen.
It is. And I think one thing, if I could go back, and we're going to wrap up here, but if I could go back and like tell that self of mine that was so kind of worried about finding the right sitter or just didn't want to get into it, is like, there's the worst that could happen. Of course, we all know the worst that could happen. Like, let's not go there with our imagination. But in reality, the mostly worst case scenario is that, like you said, the sitter's not really on the ball. The kids trash the house. The baby cries.
It's annoying, but you can deal with it. Like my house got messed up. My kitchen didn't get cleaned. The diaper didn't get changed when I thought it should have. Like stuff like that. It was never stuff that was like tragically bad. It was just, it was like rookie mistakes that I was annoyed for paying for.
Yeah.
But not really that big of a deal in hindsight. And it was still worth it.
And the kids are all right. That's the other.
The kids are all right.
I think we're ready to wrap up.
Me too.
I'm excited for next week. So next week we're going to really get into like now the sitter's at your front door or in your foyer, and you've got to leave, which is one of the hardest parts. Like my kids love sitters, but they get super loud and like everyone wants to talk at once. And I'm like, can I just talk to the sitter for 30 seconds and walk out the door? So you got to actually leave. You got to make sure everything goes okay while you're gone. You got to pay them when you get back. So we're going to talk a little bit more about all those kinds of details once you have found your sitters. I think that's going to be fun. So stay with us because you'll hear Katie and I in just a second.
Many more details to come,
And also, if anybody missed it, we aired the episode we recorded at our live show. So we sort of snuck it in as a bonus. It aired Friday, September 1st, so a couple weeks ago now. And of course, it was so much fun because you can hear our live audience. But it's also a really, really good episode about how to help a new mom and what kind of help we wish we would have had as a new mom. So if you missed that or if you saw it and thought maybe it wasn't for you because you weren't there, definitely go give it a listen. It was a really, really very special evening and fun. The episode turned out great, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. So
awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, we will be back next week and stick with us for Katie coming up.
Hey guys, I'm here with Katie Addis. Hey Katie.
Hey Sarah. Hey guys.
And this is Sarah, if I didn't say that. So we are back for one of Katie's new mom segments. She pops on with me once a month or so to talk about life as a mom of a toddler and a baby, like we know so many of you out there are dealing with those same circumstances. So Katie's got for us a struggle that she's going through right now, a recent discovery, and a success. So what have you got?
Okay, so first of all, I'm concerned about how long that baby label is going to stick.
Yeah.
How much longer will Luke be considered a baby? But based on my struggle, you guys will be like, oh, he's a baby.
He is a baby.
He for sure is a baby.
Yes.
So my struggle is that Luke hates his car seat still, and he is 11.
He'll be a year by the time this airs, probably.
Yeah, he still hates it, and he will still get in these little spurts of just crying inconsolably if he reaches this point in the car and we're, let's say, halfway there, we will for the rest of the journey be listening to him scream at an escalated level that you just would not believe, like a wild man, just tortured, miserable baby. Which makes for a miserable...
It's so miserable. And you guys, we're going to play you a little bit of it because Katie came prepared with a sampling of Luke's car screaming. Okay, here we go.
Oh my gosh, that makes me like so stressed out just listening to it. I am so sorry.
Does it give you PTSD?
Yeah, like, it does give me PTSD. I mean, so I had one car screamer and it was Violet, but it was 0 to 6 months and it just stopped at 6 months. So, but it was every car ride, no matter what, no matter like all the time. I almost didn't leave my house. It was my third baby. I had one in kindergarten and one in preschool. So I had short drives to and from school, but I just didn't really go anywhere else.
Like, I bet.
Yeah. Or I would wear her. But anyway, I don't want to take over the conversation because she did stop at 6 months and Luke is a year. So
yes. And that's exactly.
It's been going on this whole time.
Oh my gosh. In fact, I have another clip that I will not play you. I will spare all of our listeners' ears, but from newborn. And the only difference is the newborn pitch versus the I'm almost a toddler, but I hate my car seat just as much. And I'm going to scream.
I'm sweating
murder.
Just thinking about it. It's so stressful. Well, okay, so here's a question. Can you flip him around? I mean, he's big.
Can you flip him around earlier?
Okay, don't do what I say, listeners. You're supposed to wait till two. But when I was a new mom, it was 1 year and 20 pounds.
Yeah, Kyle keeps saying, my husband, he keeps saying the answer to Luke's problems are he just needs to see what's going on. He just needs to be part of the party and included. And I mean, we maybe thought originally his problem was a temperature thing.
Yeah.
Like, once we get that minivan and he can have a vent directly at him, he won't get so hot because he runs very warm. And when he gets in one of these crying fits,
he's all sweaty and
super sweaty. His hair's all matted. He's all red and drooling and his onesie is wet. And I mean,
I'm not feeling sorry for him. I'm feeling sorry for you. This is torture.
It's torture.
It is total torture. I'm so sorry. I did not know you were going through that.
Yes. And so it literally takes long car rides out of the equation. Yeah. In fact, we, my sister and I took a road trip, about a 4 hour road trip that ended up being double that, 8 hours, because we had to stop in intervals to give him a break, to give us a break. And that was his test to see if he could make a longer road trip, because we take an annual family trip, typically up to Lake Tahoe, which is about an 8 to 10 hour drive. And he failed.
You failed, Luke.
So
you're fired.
Yeah.
You are fired from car seat baby.
I know, voted out of the car, off the island. So, you know what we will be doing? I will be flying with Luke for the 45-minute flight up to the Bay Area, and Kyle and Annalie will be driving along with his sister and her husband, and we will meet them there.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I really don't have much to say, but maybe our listeners do. Help Katie out. I mean, I just had to wait it out, but again, mine was 6 months, not a year, so.
Or if nothing else, take heart in his screams, because if your baby reaches levels that you thought were unparalleled,
or you think that they're dying, they're not.
They're not.
There
are other babies.
They won't remember it. They won't be scarred for life. You will be. So save the money for your own therapy, because it is way harder on mom. I promise.
I know. Or grocery bills.
Luke is on my bad list right now. Okay, so moving on.
Okay, moving on. So my discovery is fun. It is a Netflix film, and I bring this up. It's not kid centered, but it is indirectly because of your kids. I have not been able to sit through a Netflix movie probably in the last year, because I typically will watch them at night with my husband in our bed.
Yeah,
and really, I just want to be sleeping.
Right. Right.
So nothing holds my attention enough, but this movie did. It is called The Founder.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
Oh, maybe. Okay. Remind me.
So it's about Ray Kroc, the guy who franchised McDonald's all across America.
I saw this written up somewhere. Okay. And it's good?
It's so good.
Okay. And is it a documentary or is it fictionalized? Okay.
It's fictionalized. Okay. It's dramatized.
Right. So like a biopic.
Exactly. Yeah. It is so good. I went into it thinking, oh, I'm going to learn more about McDonald's. But really, the McDonald brothers kind of take a backseat. The guys who actually founded McDonald's. And really at the forefront is this guy, Ray Kroc, who, I mean, it's just really interesting from a story perspective. It's interesting from a character perspective.
Okay.
It's so good.
I'm going to add, I mean, Brian really always wants me to watch a movie. He loves movies. And I'm the same. I lost my attention span for movies when I had babies. Now, our kids sleep through the night and we do actually watch a lot of good TV now. But TV has sort of become my movies because we're always watching a good series or whatever.
Okay.
So now the problem isn't necessarily falling asleep. but just that I like all my shows too much. So Brian would watch, he would watch literally any movie because he just wants me to get back into watching movies. So I'm going to put that on our list. The Founder on Netflix. Okay.
And then my success is, so Luke is approaching a year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting a little reflective on, wow, I've made it a year with two kids and it's been quite a year. I mean, half the year I've felt like I've been just bailing water out of a sinking boat. You know, if one thing's going well and we're afloat in one area of life, like definitely we're sinking in other areas of our lives. And moms, I know you can relate with that, I'm sure. But I feel like, before I had Luke, when I found out he was a boy, I was so scared of mothering a boy. Mm-hmm. I did not know what that would be like. And Sarah, I mean, you having the same gender order as I did, I don't know how you felt about.
Yeah, I don't think he
was a boy.
I don't think I felt that way, but that doesn't mean it's not normal. I just don't, that wasn't the thing that I latched onto. So
okay, yeah, I knew, you know, the love of a daughter and, of course, the relationship I had with my mom, and that's what I knew. And I have a brother. Obviously a husband, and I know guys, but I don't know. There was just something about mothering a son that I was so scared about that there was just a foreignness.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I just feel like all of those anxieties were all for naught.
Yeah.
And here we are a year later. And yes, there are some things that my anxieties, I guess, were a little true. Like in terms of some of the things I was scared about were like the physicality of boys and the later down the road roughhousing. And he definitely checks the boxes for that mega physicality. But I mean, it's nothing to be scared about. Yeah. Or I mean, you know, it's just so beautiful in so many ways. Aww. And I consider that a success.
I've
mothered a girl and a boy now. And
for a whole year. And you survived your first year of two kids, which is a major accomplishment. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, on that note, we will wrap up. You guys can head to the show notes for this episode and we'll link to anything we talked about. We didn't really just talked about car crying.
And yeah. So, you don't want to link to Luke's crying to play that on loop.
No, you all heard that already. So, okay, you guys. Well, Katie will be back with us in a few weeks and we will talk then. Bye, Katie.
Bye.
The Mom Hour is supported by partners like Erica. Erica is the social media health app for teens that gives them the tools to unplug when they need to for improved health, study focus, sleep, and daily balance.
Erica was built by a dad of three boys who saw that teens themselves were really becoming self-aware to the risks of social media, and he wanted to help them self-regulate. Erica works to hide distracting apps from your phone at the touch of a button, keeping them out of sight and out of mind without deleting your data.
Tell your teens about Erica and save 20% on the Erica family plan with promo code THEMOMHOUR. Go to erica.app and search for plans. That's Erica with a K, Erika.app, and use code THEMOMHOUR to save 20%. Hi, everyone. Megan here. Sarah and I would absolutely love it if you would hit pause right now, like right where you're listening, and leave The Mom Hour a rating and review. If our show has helped you feel a little more confident as a mom or a little less alone, this is one of the biggest ways you can thank us, and it really only takes about 30 seconds. If you're listening to Apple Podcasts, you can navigate to the Mom Hour's show listing. So when you're in the episode you're listening to right now, click where it says The Mom Hour just above the play button, and then scroll all the way to the bottom, and you will see the ratings and reviews. We would love if you would leave us one as well. Thank you so much for listening.